Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley and Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road will be along shortly here on the program, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well at 102.5 The Game. And you can find us every day streaming from 6 to 10 a.m. on Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Lisa Byington coming up at 7:30 to talk all things NCAA tournament. She's been on the call for the tournament and has called a couple of huge upsets as well. So that's been a constant theme of this NCAA tournament. We'll have that conversation with her coming up at 7:30. But right now, I want to get into the Nashville Predators. And we've talked about this for a few weeks now, when it comes to Matthias Ekholm and what his future could look like with the Predators. Now, the Predators have played well as of late. They're 4-3-1 on the road trip, coming back home tonight to take on the Detroit Red Wings at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But I think in the mind of some Preds fans, it has been maybe a foregone conclusion that Matthias Ekholm could be on the way out the door based on some reporting heard not only by Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and of 31 Thoughts a few weeks ago about who could be available for the Predators, but Adam Vingan has wrote some pieces about it, Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic as well. It's been all over the place nationally, and Matthias Ekholm is the number one target at the trade deadline on TheAthletic.com's big board. But Elliot Friedman had some very interesting thoughts on his 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick about the Predators, what the immediate future could look like in terms of the decision-making process that David Poile and company are going through right now, and maybe how that relates to Matthias Ekholm and another defenseman on the Nashville Predators. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say on the 31 Thoughts podcast.
I think we've all kind of looked at Ekholm as the guy. He's got one more year under contract at $3.75 million. Yep. He's a heck of a player, and we knew he was out there. Well, the interesting thing to me is I had someone say to me on Sunday that they're beginning to wonder if the Predators are going to be making an Ekholm-Ellis decision.
What does that mean, Ekholm? Like one or the other?
Could it come down to one or the other? Hmm. Now, initially, I think that Nashville kind of looked at Ellis as they didn't want to do it, and I'm still not convinced they want to do it. But when we reported that it was Yossi no, Rene no, and Ellis no, and everyone else they'd think about, I had a couple of people ask me, are you sure? Are you sure they wouldn't do Ellis? And it wasn't like they were saying anything bad about Ellis. It's just that I think there's teams out there who really like Ellis. And the danger about Ekholm is he's only signed for one more year. Now, Ellis is signed for six more years at $6.25 million. And like Ekholm, he's got a lot of respect. Like, both those players are really respected players. And I just wonder if some teams have gone to the Predators about Ellis. Mm. And I also wonder, because he signed it a longer term, you know, would people feel more comfortable dealing for him? And I can't see Nashville trading both those guys. I'm just wondering if there's any chance that they look at it and say, well, what if instead of Ekholm, it's Ellis, and we try to keep Ekholm long term? I think clearly Nashville has some big decisions to make, and I think it's possible that teams have leaned in on them and said, we're not sure about giving all this up for only one more year of Ekholm. You know, how do we feel about giving all this up for six more years of Ellis? I think it's possible that's going on.
So that was Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and from the 31 Thoughts podcast, and throwing out some very interesting stuff there as it relates to the Predators, Matthias Ekholm, and maybe Ryan Ellis a part of things as well. Now, Porth, I have said from the beginning of this conversation that if I'm the Predators, I'm thinking long and hard about trading Matthias Ekholm, because I fully believe that he can still be a part of the solution when you get to the other side of the retool or the rebuild or whatever words you want to use, and that there's no way in the world Ryan Ellis would be on my untouchable list. Now that you hear those thoughts from Elliot Friedman about how maybe the Predators could see if Ryan Ellis could be traded as well. Maybe it's not a for sure thing that Matthias Ekholm could be the guy, and that maybe there's a decision the Predators have to make between Ekholm and Ellis. What's your reaction to that?
Well, if you get a similar package in return, or the same package in return between Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis, I think then the question becomes the same question that we've been asking about Philip Forsberg. Is Matthias Ekholm willing to sign here long term? And if he is, then I think the two of us agree that the decision is pretty easy at that point.
Yep.
I trust Ekholm long term more than I trust Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis has gone through a ton of injuries already in his career.
He's in one right now.
Yep. And Ekholm is a really, really solid defenseman. Ellis is too, but he has shown more signs of regressing here in the last couple of years than Ekholm has. So it's an interesting thought put out there by Elliot Friedman. And I think because of his reporting a month or two ago, we all assumed that Ellis was off the table and that everyone was focused on Ekholm. And he has thrown in an interesting wrinkle here.
He has. Now, the other interesting part of this is, like, if you're trading for Ryan Ellis, it's probably not happening right now because he is hurt and who knows when he'll be back. John Hines saying after the game the other night that Ryan Ellis has had surgery, and although he's skating, he's not close at this point to coming back. So if you're wanting immediate help this year, I'm not sure when Ryan Ellis is going to be available. Not sure if it'll even be before the trade deadline comes on April the 12th. So that could certainly affect your decision if you're the Predators. If it's Ryan Ellis, I feel like it's going to be something that happens in the offseason and not here at the trade deadline. Does that affect the decision at all? That would be an interesting question for David Poile. But I agree. Like, if you're forcing me to pick between these two guys, I don't know how you couldn't select Matthias Ekholm. I really don't. Like, and that's nothing against Ryan Ellis. I think he's a really good player. And I think when he's healthy, he's a big part of this team. But he has had some injury issues. And I don't think that there's like this steep drop-off from Ryan Ellis to Matthias Ekholm. Matter of fact, they're pretty close. I would probably give the slight edge to Ekholm in the defenseman that I feel comfortable about moving forward. Now, Ellis is better offensively. Obviously, he's got a great shot, and you feel good about that. But I've said it. I think if you're the Predators, Ekholm's a guy that I feel like could be a part of this thing moving forward for a long time, and that's something I consider. Now, you brought up a great point. You have to be sure if you go this route that you can get Matthias Ekholm to sign a long-term contract, because what you can't have happen is to trade Ryan Ellis and then Matthias Ekholm doesn't sign a contract and next year you're losing him in free agency. You lose both of them.
Well, given Matthias Ekholm's recent comments to Adam Vingan in The Athletic, I kind of feel like Ekholm wants to be here.
I do too.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Matthias Ekholm was drafted here. He has a family here. I kind of feel like he wants to stay here.
Yeah.
I feel more confident in saying that. We just haven't heard any comments of the like from, say, Philip Forsberg as that conversation picked up in the last couple of weeks.
Right. No, I think Ekholm, and just kind of reading the tea leaves on him, I do think he would want to stay here. I think he would be very interested in a long-term contract. And quite frankly, I'd be interested to see what that contract looks like if you're the Predators. I mean, Ryan Ellis is getting paid $6.25 million per season. Would Ekholm be at that number? Would he be a little bit more? Would he be a little bit less? I mean, offensively, it's not like Ekholm has been, you know, just lighting it up on the back end as this major offensive defensive. Now, we've seen, especially when Josi and Ellis have been out, how dangerous he can be and how good he is. I mean, he's a number one quality defenseman. He is. He's that good of a player in this league. I'm interested to see what that number could look like if it is Matthias Ekholm and you're interested in signing him to a long-term deal, because I don't imagine it would be, if it is more expensive than Ryan Ellis' contract, I don't think it's going to be that much more expensive than Ryan Ellis' contract.
I think the only way it's more expensive than Ellis' contract is just sheer inflation over time between contracts. Now, I also found this interesting. I saw odds yesterday from Bodog where they were asking where will Matthias Ekholm play after the 2021 NHL trade deadline, and the Preds were still the favorite.
Yep.
At minus 150, and then it was the Flyers, the Bruins, the Caps, the Canadiens, and the Jets. And Mikael Granlund, the favorite was Toronto.
Okay.
I was very interested to see that Ekholm, the odds of him staying in Nashville were greater, according to Bodog, than ending up on another team.
Well, it's interesting because, like, to me, if you're going to trade Matthias Ekholm, the time to do it is in the next couple of weeks.
Like, yes.
You're not doing it the offseason. That lessens the value that you're getting back in return. Part of the reason that you trade for Ekholm now, if you're going to do it, is because teams could get him for two postseason runs. I think that's a part of the big value that you're going to get back. To me, if they don't, that could signal that maybe you move on from Ryan Ellis this offseason. Now, there has also been, and every time I bring this up about Ryan Ellis, there will be a fan or two that responds with the, but what about the hometown discount that Ellis took to stay here and the Predators didn't give him a no-movement clause, and that would just be a bad look from the Predators and David Poile if they did that and then traded him away after that. Maybe free agents in the future would keep that in mind, and they wouldn't be wanting to sign here in Nashville because of it. I don't really buy into that. And quite frankly, like, if you're the Predators, you can't worry about that. You can't hold on to Ryan Ellis if you want to trade him just because he took a hometown discount and because there was blowback about you not giving him a no-trade clause. Obviously, Ellis wanted that. He did not get it in his deal. Roman Josi did. Roman Josi is the captain. Roman Josi is a Norris Trophy winner. To me, you can't worry about that if you're the Predators. If you got a good deal and you feel like Ellis is the best option to trade, you got to move on.
I wouldn't completely blow that off, though. I wouldn't completely blow that off because if you're trying to sign big-ticket free agents in the future, they could remember that.
Well, they could.
They could also be an agent of, or they could also have Ryan Ellis' agent, and Ellis' agent might say, you know, you didn't give Ryan Ellis a no trade. You traded him within a few years after the contract. We're not signing here.
Well, I don't think it would be they're not signing here. They would be you're going to have a no trade. Like, David Poile has wanted to avoid that as much as possible, to not have a no movement clause. What that could do is make it much more difficult in these negotiations to get a no movement clause or to not have a no movement clause included. But I don't think it would just preclude free agents from signing here. I mean, there are a lot of teams that hand out no movement clauses. David Poile has gotten away with not doing that for a while. To his credit, I think it's great if you're a general manager and you don't have to hand out a no movement clause. You don't want to be hamstrung by anything. But I don't think it's as big a deal as some Predators fans make it out to be. We'll continue this discussion on the other side and ask you the question. If you're the Predators and Ekholm and Ellis could be on the table to trade, which route would you go? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think it's possible that teams have leaned in on them and said, we're not sure about giving all this up for only one more year of Ekholm. You know, how do we feel about giving all this up for six more years of Ellis? I think it's possible that's going on.
That was Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and with Jeff Merrick as well, discussing the Nashville Predators and Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. And now we're discussing it here on the show. If you had to trade one of the two, which would it be? I think we've assumed for the last few weeks that maybe Ekholm could be on the block. Elliot Friedman throwing it out there that maybe it may not be Ekholm. Maybe the Predators could consider trading Ryan Ellis if the right package comes along. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Ryan Porth. Now, Joe Rex Road here on the program as well. How's it going?
How about that? Hey, everybody.
Joe Rex has got a hat on, too. It feels good.
Have you guys been making fun of me at all today?
We have not even, no.
You have, like, you've just gone on with the show? Like,
just
hey,
gone
everybody.
On. Your Rex Road.
It's Tuesday, and, you know, things are normal.
Well, we, you know, when a few phone calls aren't answered and a few texts aren't responded to, you know, you're
a little worried.
Yeah.
Did you think I was dead?
The thought crossed my mind.
What if he's in a ditch somewhere?
Well, that's the thing. I actually... Like, I liked some of your gifts that you sent me, Porth, like people knocking on your head. And yeah. But I'm like, gosh, if I was dead, he'd kind of feel bad about those gifts later, wouldn't he?
Would. Yes, he would. A little bit. Glad you're not, though.
Yeah. Well, good to be alive. Good to be here. Sorry. Yeah, I did not turn my alarm on. It's actually like I thought as I'm driving in, I'm like, We've been doing this for more than a year, on and off.
Yeah. It's a miracle this doesn't happen more often. Yeah. Especially like for me, I've been such a nighttime guy my entire life. Like, I'll stay up until 1:30. I don't do it anymore, but that's what I've been like my entire life.
Me too.
The fact that I've not done this yet is pretty impressive.
And woke up at 6:30 unprompted. Just woke up at 6:30, looked, saw the light coming through the window, and was like, oh. Yeah. And I mean, at first I'm like, oh, it's like 11 a.m., right, isn't it? Like, everyone's gone to school. They just left me here for dead. Man.
Welcome into the
show. Sorry. Yeah, how's the show been going?
It's going really
well. Good show today?
It absolutely is. Right now, talking to Predators, Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. I would definitely trade Ellis because, well, let's go. When the team didn't have Ekholm for those few games, that said they struggled. And it showed. And now with Yossi out of the lineup and all the other guys out of the lineup, it has shown what Ekholm really proves to this team and how demanding and how much respect he gets, especially from these young kids. And also the simple fact is, if you look at the defense and prospect pool, the right side of the defensive prospect pool is loaded. You have Fabro, you have Carrier, who's becoming a really good defenseman, and you have a few other guys still down low. On the left side, your best prospect is Jeremy Davies. There's nothing really on the left side to really help the defense if you let Ekholm go. You would pretty much have Yossi and then Davies and maybe Harper left on your left side. And I don't think Davies is ready for top 4 minutes yet. But realistically, I would to keep Ekholm and trade Ellis.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. I think it's a good point Ryan brings up. When you look at the prospect pool and how it shakes out right now for the Predators, I mean, you've got Frederick Allard on the right side. You've got Carrier on the right side. Fabro, still young. He's on the right side. I think you feel okay about that side of it moving forward. And by the way, Ekholm, if you needed to, can play the right side. He's done that at times before as well. A little less deep on the left side. So maybe that is something you think about if you're the Nashville Predators.
Another thing, as I'm driving in, I'm almost yelling at the radio, like, yes, you trade Ellis if you can trade Ellis. I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, I guess, you know, Ekholm's deal to me is an attractive part about him. I understand the long-term thing, but like you said, you get two postseasons if you get him. And look, everybody else knows what we know about Ellis. That's my question.
Right.
What's the difference in return? I understand what Friedman's saying there. You got a guy for a long time, but I mean, this is quite an accumulation now of injuries. I thought last year Ellis had a huge kind of response season to the year before.
Agreed.
But now he's had surgery. I mean, and I think, yes, there's an offensive difference between the two. I don't know
how. Not that much.
I mean, they're different kinds of players offensively, but defensively, I want Ekholm on my team.
Absolutely.
For some of these matchups, like, you know, you think about getting the playoffs. Go back to that 2017 run, Ekholm and Subban together. As important as anything.
Dynamite.
I mean, other than Pekka, as important as anything.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, thanks for having me. First of all, sleeping in is a complete rookie mistake, so you need to bring the boys coffee and donuts in for the rest of the week.
I agree. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's
rookie,
fair.
It's a great point.
Rookie mistake. Yeah.
So, old rookie.
I'm at the rink a lot, and in the summertime, you see Ryan Ellis putting in the work in the morning, and I'm talking like 6:30 in the morning, you know, when most people wake up, and he's already awake and rocking. And over the last couple summers, what he's been doing is tying himself down to one of the star forwards that have just been drafted and putting in the work. And what it's going to sound weird the way I'm going to vote on this, but I've watched him with my sons, and just he runs his own practices and his own preparedness to get ready for training camp, and it's been very, very impressive. And he is a true leader, and he's also a bit of a character. He does some different things that I think that some other players don't. From a social media perspective, he does, you know, these posts as a Civil War hero, and every game is a battle, and reading some of those things is just fantastic. However, he used to be absolutely awesome at his turns and his hip rotations, getting from forward or getting from backward to going forward, and his vision was better. Over the last 2 years, he's lost that, and he's lost it to a point where if you look at a lot of the errors that are being made on the ice, you can track back to some of his lack of transition. On the other hand, you have Matias Ekholm, who has said, yeah, I like it here, I want to stay here, I'm raising a family here, I've got a year left, I'll negotiate whatever. He's probably the smoothest. He would be comparable to Josi as far as
yeah, he moves well,
and he can drive the puck. He blisters the puck, and he has good vision for that. So I would say, absolutely, Ellis. You're going to have to sell the fact that he's on a decent contract, and that he's become a little brittle. And these are things because he's not as big. They ask more of him, and Ellis has definitely declined. So losing Ekholm would be, if you lost Ekholm, you better be getting a first back.
Absolutely.
If you lost Ellis, we'll see.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. I agree with a lot of what he said there, and I will point out the Ryan Ellis Civil War account. Number one, no longer exists, but number two was not him. It was
Are
fake.
You sure?
Yeah.
Like, when he said that, I'm like, God, did Ellis actually do that account?
No, it's fake.
Newfound respect. I miss that account.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Wasn't the first one of those the Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
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 And there's like a lot of them now.
Yeah.
Like,
there's too many of them now.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like Mother, the sandwiches arrived. Yeah. Yes. That was really good.
But not really Ryan Ellis doing that. But other than that, like, look, the Predators love Ryan Ellis. I don't think anybody would deny that. I think Ryan Ellis has a lot of qualities that you appreciate. I think his leadership is really good. I think he's a really good player when he's healthy. Problem is, he's not as healthy as you need him to be. I mean, when T.S. Ekholm, I know he's been hurt once this year. Go back and look at Matias Ekholm's career. He's pretty healthy. He's pretty durable for this team, and I trust him more moving forward. If you know that you can sign Ekholm to a long-term deal and you could trade Ellis and get back a similar return, if I'm the Predators, to me it's not really much of a decision. I'm keeping Matias Ekholm. I've said that from the beginning.
Do you think that's true, though? Like, do you think you can get back a similar return?
I don't know. I mean, the way Elliot Friedman was talking, there's apparently a lot of interest in Ryan Ellis around the league. So, and talk maybe that teams would feel more comfortable getting Ellis for the duration of his contract than they would with Ekholm giving up that much for just another year and a half. If that's the case, I'm doing it if I'm the Predators. And I think we could find out which way they're leaning soon. Like, to me, if you're trading Matias Ekholm, you're doing it. Now, you're doing it before the trade deadline. I think Ryan Ellis would be more of an off-season move. Like, if Ekholm doesn't get traded at the deadline this year, maybe that tells you how they're thinking.
Yeah, and obviously Ellis being – I mean, it's a long-term deal, but it's not ideal for the Preds in this scenario that Ellis is just having surgery right now too.
No.
I mean, like, to me, that would – if I'm another GM, right. I'm like, oh, man, how many injuries is that now right. in the last few years? But – I think it's an easy one. I think it's an easy choice. If it's similar, if it's really close, it's easy.
We'll continue to take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the NCAA tournament. Lisa Byington has been on the call for some huge upsets so far in the tournament. She joined us last week. She'll join us again coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And there's always that one team this time of year that ruins your bracket for many of you. It's happened already. That's why I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free, and it doesn't matter if you're betting on a team like Michigan or a team like Loyola Chicago. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and FanDuel's got odds on all the tournament action. With games day and night, your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. And guess what? FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you. They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet on the tourney. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing. Risk-free offer for first online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
This is for the tie. It rims out. Florida chasing it down. Lewis for the tie. That's not there. Oral Roberts, the 15 seed. The upset makers are history makers. And Oral Roberts is in the Sweet 16.
What an NCAA tournament it has been so far. Upsets galore, and one of those upsets, Oral Roberts moving on to the Sweet 16. And the voice you heard there on the call now joins us here on the show. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Lisa Byington, who was on the call there, joined us last week on the show, joins us again here today. Lisa, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Yes, it's good to be back with you guys, Joe and Robbie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Lisa, I mean, it's been about as entertaining of a first weekend of the NCAA tournament as I can ever remember, and you are on the call for two gigantic upsets with Oral Roberts taking down Florida, moving on to the Sweet 16, Abilene Christian taking down the mighty Texas Longhorns as well. What has this been like for you on the call watching these games, and what have you thought of the upsets, how many of them there have been so far in this tournament?
Well, it's what March Madness is all about, right? I mean, it's what I appreciate about this. You know, it's funny because people will say, well, what a weekend you had. And it literally felt like a month. I had to stop and think, like, was it only a weekend? I mean, you know, it was all these games and all this information kind of piled into basically 3 days. And it was wonderful. You know, I laugh at some of the people were joking that none of the Power Five schools want to see me walk into an arena, you know, when they're facing a double-digit seed. Steve Smith and I and the rest of our crew, we had two back-to-back unbelievable upsets, and it's just so special, and it's what March Madness is all about.
Yeah, incredible games. You guys were awesome. You were fantastic. Anybody who's seen your play-by-play before, you know, is not surprised, but was it different for you, Lisa? I mean, like, you know, we talk about players in this tournament, right? You know, at the free throw line, you've done it a million times, but now it's the NCAA tournament, right? So what about for you? Was this just, hey, another day at the office, or did you have like the extra butterflies, the extra pressure feeling during doing this?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think one of the first times that it just really, really hit me, I mean, when you're preparing for something, kind of like what you were saying, Joe, like, you know, it's a player preparing for a game you know is coming up. So throughout the whole week, I know that these games are coming up. But the first time, so Steve and I got assigned Lucas Oil Stadium for our first two games. And so it's obviously the venue for the Final Four. So it's obviously really well done, and it's huge. And so the first time I walked in the doors, and I just walked in, and we got to see a couple of practices. And I walked in, and it was kind of like I went – you know, it was like the first time where it just kind of hit you like, this is real. And this is what you've been preparing for. And so, you know, when you walk up to the broadcast station that we had, and it's all encased in glass, and it's just so professionally done. I mean, you know, to the nth degree. You know, I'm used to working off of like maybe, you know, one or two monitors for just a regular season game that I do. And they had like six or seven monitors for me, and they all had their own specific thing, you know? And so it's just, everything is just jacked up on almost on steroids, right? From what you're used to it being. But ultimately, and I think I told you guys this before the tournament started, it ultimately just comes down to the basics, right? And that's kind of what all these players and coaches have to remind themselves as well. You look around, and yeah, it's different from the regular season. These arenas that you're playing in is different, and the stakes are different. But ultimately, you got to make the shots, and ultimately, I had to make the calls. And so that's what it came down to.
So believe the unbelievable. I believe that was your call after Abilene Christian, right? That if I have it right.
It was,
now,
yeah.
Is that spur of the moment, or did you have some ideas in mind in case something crazy happened?
You know, I've always wondered that, you know, but before I got into play-by-play, I always kind of wondered how that happened. And with me, you know, in every timeout, I'll say I do this. I try to step back during commercial breaks, and I jot down either trends that are happening during the game or just words to remind myself of the bigger picture, you know, because it's so easy as a play-by-play and an analyst to not look at the game 30,000 feet above. And so we have to keep, or I at least have to keep reminding myself of the stakes at hand and what are the bigger storylines. And it was maybe at the under eight timeout in the second half in the Abilene Christian Texas game. And I was writing down some words and some storylines. And one of the words I wrote down was unbelievable. you know. And I actually had a text, the Abilene Christian radio announcer, who had been fantastic in giving us information. And I just wanted to text him to make sure. I said, I just want to make sure this would be the biggest win in school history, right? And he just immediately wrote back and said, by far. So I was just trying to keep that stuff in perspective. Now, the actual, like, believe the unbelievable, that was off the cuff. But, you know, I do remember writing down, like, this would be an unbelievable story for Abilene Christian. And it's one of the words that I wrote down in sort of my 30,000 feet above sort of reminder sheet of what's at stake in this game.
Really cool. Lisa Byington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Lisa, also Oral Roberts, a 15 seed, making it to the Sweet 16. They take down Ohio State in the first round, take down Florida, which you were on the call for, in the second round. From your vantage point, how have they been able to do this and find their way into the Sweet 16?
Well, they have two studs on their team, Max Asemuth, and it is pronounced Asemuth. It looks like Abness. But it's funny because some people were tweeting that, like, are they saying their name wrong? And it absolutely looks like Abness, but it absolutely is pronounced Asemuth. And for him alone, I mean, he leads the country in scoring. And this is what I love about the NCAA tournament, because hardly anybody knows about Max, right? And so there's fantastic players who don't play in Power 5 conferences that you learn about because of March Madness. And Asemuth is one, and Kevin O'Banner is the other. I mean, those two guys combined, I think my stats guy gave me a stat after they beat Florida, and he said that O'Banner and Asemuth in their first two NCAA tournament games had combined for like 113 points between the two of them. Wow. You know? And so it's amazing. It really is. And Paul Mills, I'm sure you guys have seen some of his press conferences, and you've seen him in the locker room. And he was so calm in our post game too, after he beat Florida. And I think there's something to say about a calm coach handling sort of a chaotic moment, right? And so he's the leader of two very talented players, and then they've got some role players along the way, and, you know, they just caught on fire. And that's something, you got to play your best basketball at the right time, and that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as soon as you said that, I'm like, okay, well, Byington knows the name, so I'm going with that. I mean, but because, yes, yeah, certainly way different from the spot. Okay, I want to give you a quick test on this now. This is a national sportscaster test. The quarterback who won a Heisman at Oregon, who used to be the quarterback with the Tennessee Titans, is Marcus.
Mariota.
No.
Yeah, she got it. She
recorded. Wait. She said, yeah. Mark. Okay. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Byington. It's it's a lifelong quest,
Mariota,
to get it. Yeah.
Right.
It's a lifelong quest to get everyone.
I said it wrong at first, but then I immediately corrected myself.
Yeah. The poor guy. You know. But yes, yeah. We will get that. We will get that across the country. Change.
He's on a mission.
Well, yeah.
Gonzaga too, right? It's all these things that, right, you kind of learn along the way, right?
What's right there? Because I mess it up. I go back and forth on that.
It's, oh, Gonzaga.
Yes, Gonzaga. It's like Nevada.
Yeah.
Like I say Nevada,
right,
but it is
exactly,
Nevada. Yeah.
Exactly.
So this tournament, Lisa, first of all, like, what was the atmosphere like? Because on TV, it sounded like, you know, some pretty good noise at times, but I know sometimes it's just, you know, it's just hard to know exactly what it's like in the buildings. And is this the craziest tournament ever?
Wow. I'm still getting, we have an incredible research team at CBS, and, you know, and they crunch the numbers. I just got an email this morning that I was looking at before I hopped on with you guys. And as I'm talking, I wonder if I could just pull it up here. But it was to that point about, if you combine, let's see, here it is. If you add up the seeds of the teams remaining in the tournament, it adds up to 94, and that's the highest combined seed total in the Sweet 16 since seeding began in 1979.
Wow.
So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what our research department came up with. And I mean, you know, when you, on the first day, basically, if you don't count the first four as the official first day, but on the first day of the first round, when you have a 15 upset a 2, that kind of set the stage, right? I mean, that Friday was unbelievable, and then it just kind of carried over, and it is great. I mean, I just, I love learning about some of the new teams and the new players, like I said, and it's phenomenal. But to your atmosphere question, the Abilene Christian Texas game was the best atmosphere in all of our games, at least. And I was just impressed, and it was equal. You know, I mean, Texas showed up, and when I say Texas, I mean the state of Texas. I mean, there was equal part orange as there was equal part purple. And even though the building was not full, it just felt like it was full. And Steve Smith and I were talking about that, about just it just felt like a big game, you know. It just had an atmosphere. And contrasted, actually, I was surprised by this, when in the Florida game, the Florida fans, they were few and far between. Oral Roberts actually outnumbered them by far. So, and normally Florida fans in any sport will travel really well.
Yeah.
But that atmosphere, if you compare the two upsets in terms of atmosphere, it was by far, you know, that all Texas showdown. It felt like a full arena. It was awesome.
Well, it is spring football time, you know, in the SEC. So, you know,
it's true.
Got gear up for spring football.
Getting ready for spring football all around. That's right. Lisa Byington has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show and has done a great job on the play-by-play in the NCAA tournament. Lisa, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you guys are enjoying the tournament, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lisa Byington on the call in the NCAA tournament. The first woman in history to be on the call in the NCAA tournament, and she's been awesome.
Tremendous. I mean, because that call, that was a really cool inside, you know, kind of, you know, inside baseball on the call there, writing down the word unbelievable. Because I do wonder about that, you know, when, because obviously, like the Mike Breen, some of these play by play have like bam,
bang!
Or like home run calls, but that's over and over again. But when you have that one moment, like, did you think about
in
advance? That was a really cool story of how that came about. Now, she was absolutely as good as anybody calling that tournament.
I wonder if Jim Nance. And like the Masters, like when Tiger won it a couple years ago, wonder if he wasn't it like a return to glory?
Yeah,
a return to glory. I wonder if he had that written down that entire day.
I don't know,
or if that just
he's had a lot of those at various golf and basketball. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament. Another eventful night last night, and now the Sweet 16 is set. What did we think of the matchups? Moving forward, we'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every single weekend with some free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Just like our good friend Ryan Porth, make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you here on Friday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing all things NCAA tournament. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, the East and West regions underway last night, advancing to the Sweet 16. Lots of great games last night. Let's start with the one that I was the most interested in, and that was Michigan and LSU. I said it on the show yesterday. I picked LSU to upset Michigan in that game. I thought I was going to be right for a long time in that game. And then LSU can't play defense, and Michigan took over, and they win the game in the end. LSU started the game. I mean, athletically, they looked like they were just outgunning Michigan in the first half of that game, and then Michigan responds in the second half. They walk away with an 86-78 win against LSU, the lone Big Ten team remaining, the Michigan Wolverines.
Yep, standing alone. And that game was a much better coach team beating a lesser coach team. I got into a bunch of arguments on Twitter last night. You can bring it to me here right now. Look, right here, I'm looking at you in the camera. Come on. Juwan Howard is
spicy
much
today.
Juwan Howard's a much better coach than Will Wade.
Miami Heat legend, Juwan Howard.
Yes, that's right. He's been terrific. Juwan Howard is by the way one of those coaches who, and you know, Patrick Ewing just got Georgetown to the tournament. Didn't go well for them in the tournament, but the whole you know, NBA player who hasn't kind of gone through college coaching range, then getting a head coaching job hasn't worked out well. A lot of guys, it hasn't worked out well. You know, we'll see. I mean, Penny Hardaway's doing okay at Memphis. Chris Mullin did not go well for him. You know, Dan Majerle, a lot of people. But Juwan Howard is bucking that idea. He's doing extremely well. We'll see with Stackhouse here at Vanderbilt. He's been great. They are really good. I agree. I thought LSU would give him a game, but they're so hard to watch on defense. They're so fun to watch on offense. Cam Thomas is amazing. Javonte Smart is really good, but also as a point guard, my goodness, man, sometimes you don't take the heat check three, or you got to create for others more than he does. He's a lead guard. He's not really a point guard. Michigan's bigger, and late in the game, when you are in a zone or man or whatever, and you're just letting Eli Brooks or Franz Wagner just take threes, you're dead. I mean, you have to know the scouting report. You have to know what you're supposed to do defensively. That team could be good defensively. You can't tell me they couldn't. They're not coached well enough to be good defensively. So, sorry, Will Wade brings in talent. And look, Elijah Campbell and I got in a little Twitter argument.
I saw that.
I did not realize Elijah Campbell was a total Will Wade stan.
How dare you argue with Elijah Campbell in front of me?
I feel bad about it, but I'm calling him the hashtag Will Wade Homer. He actually likes Will Wade Truther better. And he has a point. Yes. This is like a Roy Williams thing in basketball. And I've come around a little bit on Roy Williams, who I used to think is one of maybe the most overrated coach in basketball or in sports, because Roy Williams would win big with, North Carolina has had at times, absolutely the best team.
Yep.
No scouting the opponent, no clue what they're doing defensively, but they just overwhelm you with their fast break, with their offensive skill. As Elijah points out, if you coach guys and you, even if you just isolate them, you get them shots that way, and they get better as individuals offensively. That's good coaching too. So I buy that, and that's the only thing Roy Williams has done well. I mean, if you put Roy Williams on Purdue, I still say he'd be fired in 3 years. But listen, I respect the individual coaching and the offensive. They've been great offensively all year. But man, when you're that bad defensively, when you're in the 130s defensively in efficiency, that can't happen. And if they were just in the 60s. They'd probably be a Final Four team. So that all comes around to just not a shocking result, but I agree, early on they were really rolling.
Gonzaga rolls last night 87-71 against Oklahoma. They remain undefeated, 28-0 in the year, moving on to the Sweet 16. Oregon, a 95-80 win against Iowa. So Iowa goes down. Luka Garza, a massive game, 36 points in that game, 9 rebounds. Not enough. Oregon gets it done. I was telling Porth earlier, I had no clue what we were going to get from Oregon. They didn't play in the first round, obviously, against VCU due to COVID issues. They came out and really just handled Iowa. And Luka Garza was great, but he was not enough.
Well, and this is Iowa. I mean, yes. Iowa is they're just soft. They're a skilled program. He's amazing, Luka Garza, but they're just bad on defense. What is happening with my mic? What is going on here?
I don't know.
It's like making a sound.
I don't know.
Anyway, the Pac-12. Are you kidding me? USC 85-51 over Kansas.
Yeah.
My goodness. The Pac-12 is one of the stories of this tournament, even though Colorado went down last night to Florida State. My gosh. I mean, it's kind of amazing. And you got the Pac-12 – maybe the championship we thought we'd have, except Oregon State is also still in this tournament, so maybe they should have been in it anyway.
Maybe so.
But USC, Oregon are going to play for the right to play Gonzaga, because Gonzaga is not going to lose their next game. Who are they playing? Creighton? See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks for playing.
No faith in Creighton.
Do you give USC or Oregon a shot against Gonzaga in the Elite Eight?
I mean, the way they played last night, yeah.
Both teams?
A shot. Yeah. I mean, look, USC has maybe the second or third pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And they have the Mobley twins. Evan is, he's the Drew Timmy. I like you. Nice player. You travel. They don't call it. Hey, good for you. I love the goggles and the headband. You look like you're out of a Will Ferrell movie. Evan Mobley might eat his lunch. Now, does that mean they'll beat Gonzaga? Probably not, because Jalen Suggs is just stupid good. Just ridiculous.
Would you go as far on Drew Timmy as you did on Trevor Lawrence?
No, I don't think he's ugly. He's kind of ugly, though. Okay. And in fact, Kispert, I was thinking about this yesterday. He looks like Jonathan Taylor Thomas out there.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is? Porth doesn't. Look, he's like, who the heck is that? Do you?
Do a Google search. Jeez. Oh, God, I missed you the first hour of this show.
The show is Home Improvement.
Yes.
Yes. You know.
Oh, yes.
Yes. amazing. See, he's looking and he's
bring
laughing.
Bring back
right
the
now.
90s.
I was like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas with a headband hitting like 25 yes, footers in your right. in your grill. So, no, good looking team. Good looking team. Very good team. They're probably not going to get challenged till the Final Four.
And also, if Alabama shoots the way they shot last night, good luck stopping them.
Alabama looked good. And John Petty, it's like if he's going to play well again, because he was kind of, I mean, he was struggling in Nashville. If he's going to play well, and they got the freshman Primo back, it's great to see. Tremendous. I don't know if you guys touched on it yet, but Belmont, first women's basketball win in school history. Absolutely incredible game. Destiny Wells, a
freshman.
Speaking
of Gonzaga, yep.
Yeah, so that Gonzaga's out. The 5 lost to the 12. And how much excitement is there today? Tennessee, Michigan, 4 o'clock for the Sweet 16. Lady Vols.
Got a chance. Give me some Lady Vols action. They should win. Get back to the Sweet 16. We'll see if they can get it done later today. When we come back, we will get back into the Tennessee Titans. The news of the day yesterday with Adoree Jackson. Will the Titans regret that as they move forward without Adoree Jackson? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, and streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and on Periscope as well, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.